Always great to have a chat to Mick Geeran, especially when the Kiwis are coming up north in the Queensland, and we've got some huge harness racing at home for Mick as well. How are you, Mick?
Mickey, I've had one of those mornings that when you grow up in a small town with no money and a big family, you never think you're going to have. I had an unusual morning this morning. I've just been for the fitting of my custom-made top hat. I've been going to Ascot for years, Mickey, and I thought to myself, nah, I'm sick of hiring top hats, so I went and got one made. One of those things you think that you're never going to own in your entire life.
I think that means that you've officially made it.
Well, I just got to the start. The problem is, Mickey, I've got a really big head, which obviously is because I've got a really big ego, and so I've got one made. So long story short, I've been going for the fitting this morning, and yeah, I'm off to Ascot in about 4 weeks, because for the first time ever, there's actually a New Zealand trained horse racing at Ascot. Now, when you think how long Royal Ascot's been going around, there's never been a New Zealand trained horse there, ever. And it's got absolutely no chance of winning, but history's history, and the Michael Pittman story, who trains Enzo's Lad, who will take on Hootson and the King's Stand and a bunch of other horses, of course. So I thought, look, why not go? I'm bound to learn something when I'm up there. So apparently a lot of Australians are going. Our good mate Chris Waller's going to be there and people like that. So, yeah, interesting trip coming up there to see, you know, how a guy like Michael Pittman handles Ascot. And, of course, I spoke to James McDonald yesterday and he told me he's not going. He said he wants to go but hasn't got a good enough book of rides to go, and he's going to use that time to put his feet up and rest. He said, because, look, I'm loving winning the premiership in Sydney, but I know I need to reload, you know, for the new season and for spring in particular. So, yeah, talking to James yesterday, he won't be at Ascot, which is a shame, but there'll be plenty of videos like me and Top Hats there.
Well, it is a great, great carnival. I'm very jealous indeed, and it's a great story for New Zealand racing. Speaking of New Zealand racing, there's been a lot of talk recently about the funding, and I know there was an announcement last week from the government. Has that been well received?
It was pretty much expected. So it goes in steps, this thing. This is a tax repeal. So basically they're dropping a tax on racing, which will chuck about $13 million into the coffers. They also haven't announced yet, but we broke it in the Herald, so it's going to happen. First synthetic track here. So there are two things which are moving along in the right direction. Then the race field legislation will come into play in the next year. So that'll put about $25 million in the bin, plus the new synthetic track. And it's not enough. The big key factor is going to be, Michael, that conversation around outsourcing. So the big players in Australia are trying to get the punting licence to bet on New Zealand racing, to supply betting to New Zealand. Now, that's currently held by the TAB, or the Racing Board, and the people who are in play for it at the moment are obviously Tabcorp, who want to, you know, have the whole domination if they can, and good on them. Sportsbet made a soft auction to offer to them initially, and I think it's going to be reopened, and they're talking about interest on Bet365. So whether the government or the committee put together to advise the minister agree that outsourcing of the New Zealand racing licence is a good idea, or whether it's a no-no, and whether what that means is whether, for example, in the initial soft offers last year, the money was way, way too short. But that's ad business. You under-offer and then someone bumps you up. Both the ones who offered last year, Sportsbet and Tabcorp, I believe they are. I can't officially say that, but that's what I believe from my resources, my research. Both of them wanted the timetabling and the broadcasting rights. Now, I'm a huge advocate for that not happening. I think you can't give away the timetabling. You can't give Tabcorp or Sportsbet or anybody else for that matter the ability to tell you what time of the day to run your races. I think that's a disastrous move, and I think people in New Zealand are now starting to see that. And then the other one is obviously the broadcasting. You've got to be in control of your own broadcasting, otherwise you're at the behest of Sky and what they do in Sydney and what they do in Caulfield. Because to be perfectly honest, to Sky and to everybody in Australia, Ellerslie is going to be 10 seconds lead and they're jumping off, they go, and back to Randwick we go. So those two things, people are now getting their heads around the fact that you can't give those away, because if you give those away as part of the contract, you lose your sovereignty. So I think they're backpedalling on those a little bit, and I think the government here would be unlikely to outsource under those conditions, but it doesn't mean the conversation doesn't continue. And it's going to be a very robust conversation, because you're talking about the future of New Zealand racing. Once you dismantle the New Zealand TAB, Michael, you can't start it up again in 10 years. So it's probably the most important question in the last 50 years for New Zealand racing. And we'll keep on top of that and keep the RSN people involved.
Yeah, it's going to be a big story indeed. Locally, you've got your richest day of the year in the world of harness racing with the Jewels.
Yeah, that's next Saturday, so Saturday week. Now, there's six Australians coming, and a couple of them are pretty good chances. Major occasion and all cashed up, a pretty serious type of horses. So there'll be a few Victorians there. Tomorrow's the barrier draws, and it goes to Addington for the first time this year. So Addington, it usually held at Ashburton in the South Island, it's heading to Addington over 1,980 metres. So there's markets available everywhere, but they'll change enormously. Noon tomorrow, New Zealand time, so 10 o'clock in the morning, Melbourne time, on hrnz.co.nz, they'll put out these fields for Addington for the Jewels next week, and horses who are $2 could become $5 and vice versa. They could go from $5 to $2 because of these barrier draws. So six Australians will be there, all group ones, nine of them back-to-back-to-back. It's a hell of a day. It's one of my favourite harness racing days in the world, and that starts next Saturday, but the barrier draws tomorrow, the big market movers. So we've plenty of Australians involved with that. And also on the harness racing front, tomorrow in Sweden, the World Drivers' Champ starts with Todd McCarthy from New South Wales to represent Australia and Matthew Williamson to represent New Zealand. Those races will be shown on Sky late tomorrow afternoon, early evening. So the Swedish races, I think there's three tomorrow, one on Saturday, and it runs into next week. Todd McCarthy, very popular, very good driver, is representing Australia in the World Drivers' Championship. You couldn't have a better rep, and he's a good young guy who's good for the industry. So they'll be on Sky, most of those heats, when available, over the course of the next week, but kicking off late tomorrow afternoon, early tomorrow night, on Australian time.
Looking forward to that. Good on you, Mick. Always great to get the latest update. And do you think the Bostonian will be winning?
I think this is a race they've dropped into at a surprising level. I think I'm not backing any of the Kiwis this week apart from Vigor Winner. I think Vigor Winner is a pretty good horse, and I'll be interested to see how the track comes up and where he falls into the market, because I think he's a pretty good horse. Look out for him as the horse this week who could surprise people. Vigor Winner, only been beaten once in New Zealand. He's a pretty good three-year-old.
Good on you, mate. Great for the update.